Okay, this is confusing to me. You didn't have a tractor, but you have these other things. Tell me what these other things are.
Well, that it all has gone.
Yeah.
Now, binder, you pull that to the four horses.
Yeah.
And you'd cut about a cloth, I think, was 8 foot wide. They'd cut a cloth, and they'd pile the grain in the bundles.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd carry them, and you'd make a windmill, and then you'd have to shop it. You'd go through the hand and set this all up as a grain up. And maybe you'd put 8 or 10 or 12 bundles in the shock, whichever was real handy. And after the whole season.
What is it
called? They had a knotter, they call it a knotter on there, that would tie this binding twine. When the bundle got so big, they used to years ago, but I don't remember that. But after they got these machines, the bundle would be about that big around in the middle, and when the pressure got so tight, it would kick it out. And when it go to kick out, that's when it tied the knot. It had the string right
was
there.
The string what made it tie the knot?
Well, it was a thing that let and cut the string off. And tied the knot at the same time, and kicked it on off on the carrier.
What gave it the power to do that?
Well, the big drive wheel, the chain.
Just the horse is moving forward.
Yeah, the wheel is rolling on the ground, and that's what drove the machine, the whole thing, the sickle and all. And that's a boy a binder was. And then the header, they pushed that. The horses was behind the sickle,
mm-hmm.
and they had a drive wheel that did that. Because that just elevated it to one end of the heady, then it had it elevated, in a, what they call a heady box, the grain, and they'd haul it and stack it. Was it by foot or by hand?
I guess I don't understand. It pulled up the whole thing?
No, it just had a sickle just like the binder.
Okay.
It would cut it off. Once the grain was high enough, it would probably have a stubble that high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would cut it off, it would fall back on the apron,
yeah.
and it would carry it to this elevator. It would elevate it into the heady box, which is kind of like a hay rack, only it was lopsided, low side,
mm-hmm.
where it elevated it in. When that got full, they would put a stop and take it to the where they're stacking it. And stack it, and most people that had very big fields, they had two, so two heavy boxes, so the machine wasn't standing still just long enough to change two. They'd have two working in the field. That's where that's when the grain plants usually harvested.
And then how did you get the grain out of the You cut off part of the stalk.
Well, later after the grain was figured was dry, they had thrash machines. They'd come in and thrash it. If you had this shock grain, like I said, if you hadn't stacked it, then they had to have what they called bundle racks. Maybe it depended on how large a thrash machine they had. They'd go out in the field and gather them up and haul them in to the thrash machine. Then they pick these bundles into the hopper that goes into the cylinder that thrashes it. That's where they ever knew anything about a combine or anything like that. And, of course, the heavy grain, they just pull a thrash machine up there, so this hopper that's out in the front carries the grain into the cylinder to thrash it. Well, they just pull right up in between the stacks. They usually have the stacks, three foot apart or more. And they'd pull up in there, and then just get on the stacks and with a fork and push it in there.
Yeah. Did everybody have their own
thrashing machine? No. Usually, it happened, our family had one. But I can remember before they did, big And the people go through the country fashion of the big outfits.
But everybody had their own binder.
Yeah, usually. They had a binder or a header or whatever the harvester was. That's the only way we knew how to harvest them.
And could you use this on, like, oats?
Oats? Any small grain. And usually they out there would use the header on oats, because it didn't keep too good. But wheat, barley, that they always stack it or could stack it. My folks never did have a header, but half the time they'd work with my grandparents and they'd exchange it. Dad would run the binder on some of his oats or something, and they'd come and head out of wheat. But,
And did you have enough corn planted that you had to do something else
to it? Oh, yes, my dad always had about half of his crop of corn. That's what he fed hogs and cattle and horses, and of course he fed oats. But we never figured to sell any oats or any corn. He did a lot, sell a lot of corn sometimes when he had an extra big crop, but then that was all picked by hand, the corn was. And I never did pick a whole lot, but I just thought killed my back to do that. I didn't have that kind of a back to pick corn, but we used to hired people and they'd pick anywhere from 80 to 100 bushels a day, and they'd pay them by the bushel.
Where did they come from?
Oh, last time you just neighbors, we had neighbors down there that had five boys, and they get their own corn picked, so that's where my folks usually got most of their help. He had other help too sometimes, but those boys were good corn pickers, and you usually had them come pick.
Yeah.
And I'd give them a little extra money. But they wouldn't go out till they had their own contact.
Yeah, you didn't have like
migrant
workers that came through
the harvest? Oh, no. I shouldn't say that. At harvest time, our railroad track was covered with bums. They call them hobos.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them was traveling through the harvest. But most of them were just bumming. Like I said, there's a few of them wanted to work and have a few dollars. And my dad had hired some like that too. Of course, he usually had a hired man through the summer after he wasn't able to work.
Would the hired man be a local person? Or?
Sometimes. Usually it's somebody he knew. Yes, sir. My cousin married one of them once. Well, you've heard us talk about Solomon Lesson. His dad worked for my dad 1 or 2 years. He's with help. Got a day on the board, and mother did their washing.
Yeah.
That's kind of, most young people can't believe that.
Yeah, but things are different.
Yeah, for sure. I don't remember how much corn they paid for picking corn. It seemed like it was 3 or 4 cents a bushel.
You have to pick a lot of corn to make any money.
Yeah, pick 100 bushels. I think it's 3 or 4 cents, you had to sold all. That's pretty good wage those days. People didn't used to worry about how much work it was. It was what they could get.
Yeah.
Work at anything for. I worked at many times a day for $1 a day. Even after F and I was married. And sometimes less than that.
Yeah. What other kinds of things cows and hogs?
Usually, in the fall, our family was fed that I put a cow or steer, whatever they want to butcher in, and they traded meat. See, they'd give them a full beef through the winter, the four of them, and they'd trade.
Yeah.
And they'd decide which one's going to butcher first when they was ready, and then the other one go along like that till they had the four through the winter. And
who were the four?
My grandparents and two of my uncles and my folks.
So I thought you said you had an aunt who took up a quarter section?
Yes, but she was an old maid and she taught school usually in Seattle, Washington.
Oh? So how did she, what happened to her quarter section?
Well, I have 80 acres of it right now.
Well, but what happened to her when you were small, before you had...
Well, it was just pasture land up till I was old enough to help farm. Then my dad bought it from my grandfather. His folks had it, and he bought it from them. Then they had part of it farmed, and they're still about 50 acres of that quarter section that isn't farmed. And that's what, I don't know, she just was, she was living with her folks there on the farm, and she had a shanty on there, she had to have a well and a building on it to hold it, and I guess she stayed up there. It was only about probably twice as far as down the stream. Up to where her well was and where her place lived, my grandparents. And that's how she got that piece of ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had to live on it some. I don't know how much, but she, I don't know how she got started teaching school in Seattle, but she went there. She, first I can ever remember, she was teaching school in Seattle. But she'd always come back home in the summertime.
I was just wondering about that. What
about in the summer?
In the winter, if you butchered, you could just, you had plenty of ice, I suppose, and it wasn't any problem.
You didn't need ice.
They
just
freeze
up solid.
Yeah, but I mean,
after
preserving meat wasn't a problem.
No, not, that's why they did the butchering in the wintertime.
But what did you do for meat in the summertime?
Well, like I said, mother had canned meat, and they had a, there were some big crocks that they used to put meat in a vine. I don't know if that's the right name for it or not. I think so, but anyhow, they could keep meat in there half the summer, like pork.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got to where that vine wasn't good, my grandparents had a smoke off, and they smoked the whole family a meat.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than pork, they never did that as beef, but they usually figured to have the beef if there's any. And it started to get warm like this, so they couldn't keep it, so they'd fry it down or can it. For the last few years, my mother canned it instead of frying it down. It was better. And she canned pork too, but and canned chicken. And canned chicken, you never eat anything any better.
Really?
I'd rather have it than fresh chicken.
Why did she can it?
So she could keep it. And
well,
like
you just keep the chicken?
Well, it could, but after the young chickens that you eat got grown big enough, so you want to get rid of them, you're just feeding them for nothing, and just by being a glass jar, they're out there eating grain. That was the idea of canned chicken.
Why is it so good?
I don't know why it is special, but it was. Ethel remembers plenty of that. We've canned a lot of chicken ourselves. That's all I have. But I don't know how. As far as I can remember, it was a first horse stand chicken.
But I mean, why, if it's so good that way, why didn't you just fix it that way when it was fresh?
Well, it's just a difference in
cooking
it.
Okay.
The cooking in jars somehow made a difference. And it just was different, that all. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay. When you were growing up, did you always think you wanted to be a farmer, or did you ever think you wanted to do anything else?
I don't think I ever felt like I wanted to be a farmer, but I was.
Well, what did you think you wanted to do?
I had no idea. That is my problem, because I didn't know enough about anything. But that's when I quit farming. I knew I didn't want to farm anymore. That's when we came to California.
Well, what about, you said your grandfather had been to California and some of your other relatives, they must have come back with stories.
I did, and I always wanted to go to California after they come back. And I never got here until after us when I were married.
Did they travel to other places, or?
No, that's really the only place I ever knew them travel. I don't know if they ever went to Iowa or not, where they used to live. I suppose they did a few times, visit friends and relations down there. And not till after they got kids go on a train. They came on covered wagons. At least covered wagons. Ox teams. There's my mother folks.
Yeah? What did they tell you about their trip to California that made it sound so?
Okay. Well, Grandpa was really the only one I could ever remember telling, but he was just telling how it wanted, the climate was, and warm out there, and all the fruits you could have in the winter time, and just like summer all winter, and he just couldn't believe it was anything like that. And he said when they went to, when they were on their way, and after they left Riverside on the train, I just came from and the horses and the fleet and everything, they just, well, he couldn't praise it high enough, out of all. That was just his way, but he couldn't make the rest of the family interested enough to go back. He was coming back to California and lived here for a few days away.
And did he come to Long Beach?
He was in Long Beach. Corona was where they had some relation, up north. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sebastopol. I had relation up there. And my uncle, this uncle that took me to school in the buggy, he went to school in Corona that winter. Well, my aunt, too. The two of them did. They were not school. But that's where then they were in Long Beach. I don't know. Then they had friends in, well, they was up in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. They was up in there. Wow. Telson's Mess. And I don't know about Long Beach if there's any relation there, if there's any reason that they were.
But it's just California.
Yeah. Because he was in Southern California, mostly.
Yeah.
And he really fell in love with it. He begged my folks to sell out and go. Well, Grandma, she didn't go anyhow, so they decided not to.
So you went to school through the 8th grade, you farmed with your family.
Yes.
Then you went to high school for a year. And in high school, you didn't learn about other kinds of possible jobs? Or?
No, what I took up in was mostly, as they call it, which was how to farm better and raise livestock and stuff like that. I didn't know anything about any
outside. Did you do anything worthwhile?
Well, I learned quite a lot of things. I learned to see ribbons and judging at the State College from this class. And I don't know. We went on a lot of field trips to teach us different things that we didn't know about, which helped a lot. You know, each one of us had to have a, what I'd call a project. I don't know, that isn't what they call it, but I had a expensive milk cow, and that's what I had. I had to keep track of all the feed and all the milk and everything to see how it paid off.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it proved to my folks to have good cows. And they changed to good cows, which paid off well.
Where was the nearest state college that you went to?
Brookings, South Dakota.
And so, if that was such a worthwhile experience, how come you didn't go back the next year?
I really don't know. That is a big problem. When I was going to high school in the spring when they put me in the farm, I'd get up at 4 o'clock and go to the field and work in the field 3 hours before I go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd work till dark after I come home. And I think that's what destroys me more than anything. Because my dad just couldn't do it. And there wasn't enough money to keep a hired man all the time for all that stuff, but I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's partly why I didn't go on to high school.
And so, how long did you continue then farming with your folks?
Well, till I was married in 26. 29, I meant to say. That's when we was married.
And but how long did you continue? How long were you out of high school before you were married?
I was 26. I went to high school. I think
3 years.
3 years, I guess. I think it's 26. The year you graduated, wasn't it, Ethel? I think so.
And did you meet her at one of these dances?
No, I met her at our little old country school up at the Bar School. She and her sister came to, her folks had moved down in that country so she could go to that school. And in the spring, they usually had to be moved, she was going to move on to a farm by the 1st of March.
Yeah.
That was about the time they came to school. That's where I first remember. I knew of them, but I didn't know them. Because their family was big, and most everybody in the country knew who they were.
Yeah.
But
you knew
them?
They were famous.
Yes, they were. They still are. They're great farmers, but then a family that most everybody liked, the whole family. I guess that's why I don't like Ethel.
Because of her relatives.
I don't know. She wouldn't leave me alone, so I had to do something about it. After she got out of high school, she moved down to my hometown and a beauty shop.
And
yeah, she had to move to my town. That's what everybody tells her.
So you listened to all the stuff from your grandfather about California. Why didn't you just move when you got married? Or you just go there?
Well, two reasons. There's no money to start with. And she had a beauty shop, and I went to work for Fire Learning Service Station in my little hometown, and That is one reason, but the following year we did move to the Black Hills. We got this, what is it, 3.5 years. Then we went back to the phone farm 4 years. That's when we decided to come to California.
Did you ever travel
anything? Just the Black Hills as far as we've ever been from home. Like 300 miles.
Okay, but you did get an urban occupation, and you went to work at a service station.
Yeah, right there at home before we went to the Black Hills.
And what did you do in the service station?
Well, everything there was to do, grease car and pump gas and fix tires and I don't know what, well, just everything in general in a service station.
And did you live in town?
Yeah, we lived in her beauty shop.
Upstairs?
Upstairs, they were a pool hall.
The beauty shop was over the pool hall?
Uh-huh. My doctor's office was up there in the same building, over the pool hall.
Oh?
And
you have a downstairs, a nice walk-in location.
Not at that time we married. She did it first, and then she. Well, it was really nicer up there than it was down on the ground. Then when she rented it, she had a beauty shop in the living room. It was pretty nice, pretty good sized room, and had a bedroom and a kitchen to hide. So she lived right there in the beauty shop. It made it a lot handier for her.
You had to go out to work.
Yeah.
So how did you decide to give all this up, all this urban life up? And
well, when we decided, I had been to the Black Hills before I married, and I liked it. And we decided we had a chance to go out there. A banker had sold out and bought a farm. And I hired out to him right there in Whiskey and moved with him. He took our old rich car with him, you know, and he had a bunch.
You had your cattle from high school?
Yeah. And a bunch of other cattle, his cattle, he bought there. I don't know how he didn't wait till he got out there, but he had bought cattle there and shipped them out there, and all the way, he shipped them out on a boxcar. And we hadn't quite halfway out there the first night. I had to unload them and milk all those cows. They were out in that stockyard. And that's why we traveled with them, went right with them. Then the next night, they were where we unloaded them to stay. And we had to take care of them there in the stockyard before we got them out on the farm. Two big buses. Three.
If you try to say anything more important than there are three big buses, that's how it'll sound.
I don't think you pick that up.
You
and I won't be straight out. No. Although the microphone has already gained it, but boosts up noises that are far away. That's a problem with the buses.
So what was it like in the
Blackhills? Well, it's one of the most beautiful places in the United States. It's kind of like coming up here to such trees, and it was beautiful after laying out in the open prairie for you all your life. And we went out there to this farm. It was right in the edge of the Black Hills. And trees, and big pine trees and all this. A little stream running right through the yard. And we lived in a little log cabin on the farm.
And what kind of a farm was it?
Well, it was sort of like the way back home was. You had a small grain.
What about the trees, though?
Well, he had open fields where there wasn't trees, close to, and he had milk cows. His milk cows was his big project. And he sold the milk right there to, in town.
What was the town?
Sturgis, South Dakota. Just about a little over a mile in there, I think, to town. Yeah. There's another 30 minutes. Well, maybe you can ask me another question too, I'm going to pick up.
Okay, so was there a creamery, or what happened to the mill?
Well, it was a creamery, and they processed the milk and delivered it to stores, or they even had a milk route. And then later, after I worked in that creamery, they called it creamery, and helped process the milk and the cream, sweet cream, and all that stuff. Made butter.
It was just the local distribution.